Welcome to the IonaHoops.com podcast with your host, Guy Flotico.
It's season 4, episode 15 of the IonaHoops.com podcast, and we are debuting a bit of a new format here. One thing you already probably picked up on is that I did not do an episode last week. We are switching to every other week episodes for here on in, for the regular season, more or less, and maybe switch it up a little bit as we get closer to tournament. We'll see in terms of the after the season is over and how we conduct episodes during the off season. We'll figure that out as we go, but I figured it was time to reduce the number of episodes given the drop off in listenership. I just don't think people have time to tune in once a week, especially the episodes are not short. They're not quickie 15 minute episodes. They're just not going to be. There's too much to cover in the way I was doing it. So we are changing the format up a little bit here. It's going to be we're still going to have IonaHoops when the need calls for it, but we're not going to be doing the game recaps straight up anymore, or previews. They take up a lot of time, quite frankly, for me, and if people aren't going to listen regularly, I'm not going to do that. I do kind of do a quickie previews in the IonaHoops message board, so you can always check that out if you don't check it out anyway, just to see what kinds of things I would normally put in there. Usually some sort of a KenPom scout and some high-level stats on some of the key players or opponents. Nothing earth-shattering, I assure you. One thing that will not be changing is the comedy that is my Mac picks, apparently, on Twitter. I'm floating now around 18 games under 500. I should explain that a little more, too, just for laughs. And times in the past couple of years when my picks were really going south, I would switch it up and pick. I would do a George Costanza. I would do the opposite and pick against what my instincts said. And I found myself winning games again that way. So this year I started off the season like that. I said, let me go into the year just picking the opposite right out of the gate. If you recall back on November 6th or whatever game first day of the season was for most of the Mac, there were 7 MAC games on the slate, and I went 0-7 doing that. So that was a fantastic start. And of course, I've been in a hole ever since. I don't think I've been much closer than 7 under 500 since then. So I kind of was struggling a bit again, and then we got to January and the first weekend of MAC play, and I said, you know what? I'm going to pick the opposite again. I'm starting to struggle again. Sure enough, first MAC Friday night slate of 5 games, I picked the opposite. And it went 0-5 because I picked the opposite. So that's 0-12 picking the opposite. So I decided not to do that anymore and just pick them straight up. And hey, you can't get worse than I am. You know, it's no matter, you know, at a certain point, it doesn't really matter when you're really way under 500. Maybe I'll make a run and make it interesting. I doubt I'll get close to 500. But anyway, wanted to explain that a little bit. So I flip-flopped on the back and forth of picking them straight up and doing the opposite. And either way, I've gotten burned. So, that explains that. On a positive note, my NFL picks usually do pretty well. I even hit a parlay this weekend. So actually, when I put money down, I do better. Maybe I should bet on MAC games on a regular basis. I don't know. Anyway, just wanted to touch on that. There are no IonaHoops this week. I didn't really have anything special to share statistically. I think a lot of Iona fans are reeling a bit from yesterday's collapse at Quinnipiac up in Hamden. You know, I said this on the board. I said this on Twitter. I'm a big picture guy. The team is playing better. There's not a doubt in my mind over the last few games they've been playing. I won't say few. I'll say 3 just to be specific so people don't get with their panties in a bunch, which is fine. I'm finding is happening quite a bit as well. The last 3 games we've played better basketball. There's no doubt about that. But yeah, that was quite a ridiculous collapse. You know, there's several reasons why it could have happened. Everything from Adan hobbling about, maybe took a little bit of spirit from us. Or, you know, it could have just been we couldn't match their energy at that point of the game. It could have been our guys just, you know, haven't been able to succeed in these close games. The one alarming stat I want to share, and this is the one thing that, and again, I look at big picture, so this is a big picture stat. Iona this year 0-6 in games decided by 6 points or less. That doesn't bode well for conference tournament settings. So we need to find a way to start surviving these tough games, these tight games. Again, 0-6 in games, 6 points or less. So every game that we've played that's been a two-possession game this year, the final score has been a two-possession game, we've lost. Now, we've won a couple games by 7, I believe. So it's not perfect, but still, a two-possession game is close to the very end, and we have not won one of those. So we need to find a way to start winning those close games. We have a bunch of older guys. They need, and you know, none of them have been the man, though. And we've talked about that. It was my biggest concern before the season started, and it's playing out that way. Everybody, even with the Don being the man yesterday, I mean, he got injured, but you know, who's going to make that big shot in the tough game for us in the clutch situation? We still don't have an answer to that question. So that's the biggest concern I have as we progress. That said, again, we are playing better ball. We looked good in the two home games recently against Canisius and the Mount, and we looked good for about the really 35 minutes yesterday. So on the road against a team that's tied for first in the MAC, we'll get into all of that in a minute. But like I said, I'm not going to do full recaps of the games. But what I have seen, I do want to share some audio from press conferences since I capture audio at press conferences and I'm there. One thing we can say for at least three games, and there's no doubt about this, the offense has been a whole lot better. So I wanted to share a little bit about that. This is first Joel Brown and Greg Gordon, and then Tobin on the improvement of the offense. This is after the game against Canisius this past Friday night.
All right, for both of you, offense playing better last couple of games. What's changed?
I think we're just all finding our rhythm. We're creating a lot of space for each other. We're playing for each other. We're just honestly just making the right plays. So you know, coach, you know, emphasized a lot in practice. You know, a lot of us can get into the paint and drive, but I mean, a lot of guys are trying to collapse and block our shots, but there's guys that are wide open. So the more that we pass the ball, we've realized that we can put a lot more points on the board. But then as well, just defensively, we've been playing a lot better defensively, so we've been able to get in transition a lot more. So we're just feeding off of each other, and that's what we just got to continue doing.
A lot more movement without the ball. That's been something I know Coach has probably been saying all along, and now you guys are starting to do it more.
Yeah, it was definitely – I feel like we just changed up our approach to the games, you know, and approach to practice also. I feel like, you know, we created a motto, do or die. You know, you either do it or you die, suffering the consequences that come after a loss, you know. And it's not easy consequences. So it's like, you know, we don't want to do anything much harder than we have to do, you know. So let's do it right. And if we're not going to get it right, well, the next time we're not going to repeat the last mistake. So that's kind of how we just changed it.
Offense seems to be making some strides lately. It's a lot more. I think today might have been the first time that we had four guys in double figures.
Yeah.
What's changed in your mind?
I mean, when we pass the ball, we score. You know, we just can't. We just that's a. I mean, 17 assists, eight. We've been very, very good on not turning the ball over. So that part's been good. Like to make the extra pass to hit the open man. I just love the fact like Wesley had an open layup, gave the ball to Greg for a dunk. Like that was just that unselfishness kind of becomes contagious. So we're starting a better feel for that, you know. I mean, like this, we all know when we put our heads down and try to do things one on one, we get in trouble offensively. We share the ball, move the ball. We're a pretty good offensive team. We're not a great offensive team, but we're a pretty good offensive team. And I thought we did that more tonight. So definitely making progress. I can feel we're getting better. Like I thought we had a good week of practice. I felt like the guys are starting to take a little more ownership of the team, and we're starting to make strides. So hopefully we can keep that going.
All right. So again, the offense has been playing better. The defense is still in question. It's actually been generally improved up again until yesterday. Now, Quinnipiac is a pretty darn good offensive team in terms of scoring. They play at a high tempo, so they get some points that way. They're not a great shooting team. And in my scout on the Iona board, I did say that statistically speaking, they're not a great shooting team, but they rebound well.
But what happened down the stretch yesterday? I mean, it was a layup line, and you know, it was very frustrating. There's lots of people questioning what, you know, some of the decisions with who was on the floor, and just, you know, why didn't we change things up? So I did ask Tobin those things in the presser yesterday. We'll go ahead and share that now. This is what Tobin had to say after the game, and then also there was a question by Ken Kreitzer about how Iona responds from this going into the game against Siena next weekend.
Yeah, just a brutal loss, I thought. You know, I thought we actually played offensively really well, made some plays and stuff, and to get up and play like we were playing, we just couldn't get stops. We made shots 70% the second half, and, you know, we just didn't guard the ball. They drove by us. They scored when they wanted to. I mean, they're a good offensive team. You know, in games like that, you got to put that thing away. You put it away with your defense, and we just kind of let them hang around, let them make shots, and at the end, you know, we started missing some shots, and they made a run. So, yeah, tough loss.
On the defensive end, did you think about maybe switching to a zone or something up, something to just change it up?
You know, we do what we do, right? So it's like, so we have a zone we can play, but like, you know, we got the lead by actually the starting second half playing pretty good defense. So I thought it was, you think about all kinds of things. Either way, zone, man, press, no press, you have to guard the ball, take some pride and guard the ball. We didn't take any pride and guard the ball. So yeah, just overall, I don't think you can switch. When you're not guarding, you can't switch your way out of not making that commitment. So we thought we'd make jumpers and have a fun Saturday or Sunday, and we made jumpers, and we just didn't want to guard.
Coach, how do your veterans handle a game like this? Do they show leadership afterwards on moving forward?
We'll find out, right? We go to Siena next on Friday, so that's just simple. I mean, what are you going to do? You can't. It's kind of like in a game when it's close like this. Like, you can't let plays that happened bother you. I thought we let that, you know, like, we lost, all right, we lost a tough game. You gotta get it back. It's over. It's there's no point. We'll rehash. We'll watch the tape. But like, we're moving on just to go play Siena on Friday. That's all we can do. You know, like, hopefully this helps us and gets us better for what's down the road. But it still stinks. You know.
All right. So again, you can sit here and debate who should have been on the floor. What should we have done when Weza tried to miss the free throw at the end? How do you switch when you can't? What do you do defensively when you're not stopping anyone? Should we have tried a zone? I mean, there's a lot of things you could have done, but, you know, Tobin was right in what he said. If you're not really defending in man, what makes you think all of a sudden you're going to stop everybody in zone? The different look wasn't going to confuse him. If you're not guarding, you're not guarding. And I think that was why Tobin didn't switch. And we weren't guarding. I mean, let's face it, when they took the lead on us, on the last of the layup line, I think it was. That was Aaron Gurin that was beaten one on one, and I don't remember too many times where Aaron Gurin's been beaten one on one. I will say this: if they're, for as well as now the older kids are starting to play, especially in the offensive end, Aaron Gurin seems to have hit a little bit of a slump right now. He had that little stretch a little ways back. He scored 22, and then I think he scored 16 or something like that. And now, last couple of games, he hasn't really been producing. I'm not quite sure what's changed. It might just be that he's not quite playing as much, although I'd have to check the minutes count on that. Certainly we have said on this podcast, and we've said on other places, and Tobin has said it as well, this team is only going to go as far as the older kids take us. And we are seeing improvement. We're seeing Panzo play better. We're seeing Tritu was tremendous yesterday with 30 points before he got hurt there. He did come back out. He didn't do anything after he came back out. So we'll have to keep an eye on that offline for the next few days to see if he's going to be available even to play in our next game at Siena. So hopefully he's okay. But so he's been playing better. The older guys, Oz played better yesterday at times. I mean, so we're starting to get that production. Brown has been terrific, although there were a lot of odd things that happened late in the game. I mean, Brown, who has been insanely good at not turning the ball over, had just he basically handed the ball to Quinnipiac at one stretch. It just elapsed. Everybody just, everything that could have gone wrong in that last 5 minutes went wrong. We didn't stop anybody. We stopped making shots. These guys have to learn how to play through that stuff. And you know what was funny? I mean, Quinnipiac battled back. We pushed the lead up to whatever it was, the highest it was. And they battled back, Quinnipiac. I think they got it even to like 6 or 7. And then we pushed it back to 11 again. And I'm like, oh, look at that. We answered the call. We went right back at them. And that's a sign of a really solid team. And then they hit us back and we didn't respond again. And I think that was kind of coinciding with Tree2's injury. Of course, he did put us on his back for a little bit there too to help us stave them off for a while. It's a tough loss. And the other thing that I want to say, our friend Jim Mezzano said this on Twitter to me, everybody handles defeat different ways. It was funny. We had that loss, emotional loss yesterday. And then I got home and I was watching the Bills lose again, another catastrophic loss in a playoff game, wide right on a kick, their fans crying in the stands. And it's like, it's true. Others are just fine. They're pissed off. Other people are crying. I mean, so we get the same thing here in Iona fandom. We have people who every game is the worst possible thing you've ever seen in your life. And then you have people like me that are just kind of like, hey, we did some good things. Let's move on to the next one. And that's kind of how I approach it. That's the former coach in me too. Again, I only coached youth sports. I'm not telling you I was a major superstar coach in my lifetime, but that's just how I approached it as a coach. I'm pretty sure that if I coached at any level in any sport, I would coach it that way, where you have to kind of look on and just take what you can from it, learn from what you can from it, and move on to the next game. That's just who I am. Fans are different. Diehards are going to be different, and they're going to be ticked off. And how dare we be only 3-4 in the MAC and all of that stuff. And that's fine. People are going to handle it their different ways. We're all going to argue about it. Intentions are going to run high, but it is what it is. But again, the thing I'd like to also point out, if you look at the current MAC standings, Iona's right now tied for sixth with Mount St. Mary's at 3-4. So the teams under us are Mount, Siena, Ryder, Canisius, and Manhattan. Iona's played a grand total of two games against those teams. So the other five games we play in the league are all teams that are right now ahead of us in the standings. That's Quinnipiac, St. Peter's, Fairfield, Niagara, and Marist. They're all ahead of us. We've played every one of them. We even beat one of them in Fairfield. Tight loss against Quinnipiac. So it was a real bad game at St. Peter's. Bad home losses to Niagara and Marist. And I know some of you are going to say, well, we wouldn't be behind them if we won those games. And that's true. Although Niagara is more than a game ahead of us. So, they're 5-3. Marist and Iona obviously would be flip-flopped if Iona had beaten Marist. But that game was now a long time ago. It was 2.5 months ago, I think, they went, or 1.5 months ago, that game was against Marist. So, I mean, that was ages ago. And Marist has really dropped off a whole lot since then. So I like where we're heading. We still need to win close games. Our schedule is going to get easier. We haven't played Manhattan. Every game in the MAC is a war. We know that. But just in terms of the ability of our opponent, forget the fact that we need to play well and all that. We haven't played Manhattan. We haven't played Siena. Ryder has talent, but it just can't get it together. There's wins coming, whether we play well or not, it feels like. But we should still, we're going to have our challenges. Hey, and road games are tough. Road games are always tough in the league. No matter what league you're in, road games are tough. So there's no gimmies. We know that. And even playing against a Siena team that can be kind of scrappy, especially since Dura Gordon got there, that's not a gimme either. It's one we've got to win. If we're going to get in that top five, and I think that's kind of a goal that a lot of Iona fans have kind of set right now, just stay out of the pig. Let's stay in that top five so we're not playing the Tuesday night. I think that's realistic given that we are already, at least 2.5 games behind the leaders right now, 3 games behind the leaders. It's a lot of work to do. But it's also a long season. We're not even halfway through the MAC slate yet. So I'm curious to see where this league looks in, say, another 2 to 3 weeks. Let's put it that way. Anyway, given that we've talked about all of that, even the format of our guests is changing. Like I said, we're not doing previews anymore. I usually have at this time of year, during the season, I have people on to help us preview an upcoming guest. We're not going to do that anymore. There's no point. You guys know the MAC. If you're listening to this, you probably know the MAC well enough where you don't need somebody to come on and talk to you like you're four about the MAC. So, or our opponents. If you really want something more detailed, you can always visit my posts on the Iona Hoops board. Lots of people can give you analysis of what they think is going to happen. But I will say this. We do have a lot of great people in the MAC who know this league up and down. One of them is Fairfield, Frank Aquino. We had him on last year to preview one of the Iona Fairfield games.
the Stags have been terrific, basically, since we went to Fairfield and whipped them, thanks to Panzo going ridiculous that night, if you all remember. That was ages ago, too. And Fairfield has just been a machine since then, handling just about everybody in their path and a lot of times blowing them out. We will see the Stags come to New Rochelle in a couple of weeks. Fairfield Frank is a diehard Fairfield, of course, and Mac fan. He's got a lot of insights into the whole league. We're going to have more people on like him as we progress in this podcast. And we'll let's go to him now to hear what he's got to say about Mac Hoops. So here's a name from our archives of past IonaHoops.com podcasts. Normally, again, in the past, we've been doing these interviews as either guests to talk about recruits we brought in or previewing another opponent. Our new format change, we're just bringing in just guys with just general wonderful Mac knowledge to share with us here. And so who better to bring in than somebody that's a fan of a team that's actually kind of rolling, which we're not in touch with here at Iona. Fairfield Frank Aquino joins us, returns to the podcast. Frank, thanks for coming back on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I apologize for the voice. Too much yelling this weekend over the 2-0 weekend.
Well, see, we don't have too many 2-0 weekends here these days. I know you're not weeping for us, though, so it's all right. It's all good. let's talk about Fairfield for a minute. And yes, I know we're not playing Fairfield, you snarky Iona fans who are listening. Like, why are we talking about Fairfield guy? We'll get to the good stuff, trust me. But I do want to ask Frank about Fairfield. So it was early December. We go into your building. We handle you pretty well. Panzo went nuts. And then ever since then, Fairfield's just beating the crap out of everybody, basically. What Yep. changed?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and I listen to a lot of the Fairfield-sponsored podcasts, right? And Coach Casey comes on. They bring a different player every week. And some of the things they said when that question's asked is it came up to the guys, right? It came up to the guards, these four guards on the team. And I'll get into some of their stuff in a sec. But, you know, Bryson Goodine's already been at Syracuse and Providence. He's in his fifth year, right? Caleb Fields, 3 years at Bowling Green, 2 years now at Fairfield. He's a graduate student as well. Jasper Floyd spent 2 years at junior college, one where he won a national championship at, I believe it was, Northwestern Florida down in Florida. Yep. And then he was at Hillsborough, right? So he has experience. And Jalen Leach has been here for 4 years, right? He's a four-year player. He was a starter last year. So I think those four guards as a nucleus bring a lot of leadership. And I think what they understand is it's a long season, one. And two, we've got the experience to win in the MAC, right? We're a guard-driven league, and we have four guards who are pretty damn good and that can score the ball. So that nucleus kept it together, kept those guys together. And that's how they've been winning is there's four guys. You got to stop at least two of them, if not three, to win a game. And it's been hard to stop all four. And Niagara, you know, they're 11-1 over the last 12. Niagara has been the only team to stop three of the four and they blew Fairfield out. So, you know, they keep finding ways to win. And these four guards are, you know, the most talented group of four guards that have been on a team in I've seen since I've been at Fairfield.
And of course, we haven't even talked about a very important part of Fairfield's roster that hasn't even played yet for you, can take you to another level we haven't even seen yet. And that's Mr. Yetna. What's going on with him?
Yeah, I mean, if I showed you my DMs, that's, you know, the majority of the DMs. When's Yetna coming back? When's Yetna coming back? You know, because everyone's excited about winning, but they're like, wait, our front court's not even like fully healthy, right? So he started individual workouts. He was cleared medically last week. The way that Coach Casey put it is that, you know, depending on the week that he had last week, he could potentially start with the team this week, depending on how last week went. We are off on Friday and we don't play till Sunday. I highly, highly doubt that we will see Alexis Yetna even in a uniform on Sunday. That would make me very excited, but I'm hoping the Iona game, and as much as that might change the way that Iona fans feel about Fairfield, if he's coming back for that game. But, you know, thinking about it, it's 2 weeks-ish from, you know, this last weekend. So I'm hoping the Iona game, that might be me being a little bit hopeful, but definitely, I would think the week after that, it would definitely be in the cards.
All right. And that would be a good time. Again, like you said, Iona seems to be playing a bit better the last three games or so. Just disgraceful last 5 minutes yesterday for us against Quinnipiac. But otherwise, we've been quite improved the last three games. So hopefully we're starting to turn a bit of a corner, and that game is going to have some meaning when you guys do come in. So your impressions of the Gales, certainly they've been uneven, to say the least, over the course of the year. And their record suggests that both league and overall. I think the team you saw when we visited Fairfield looks like the team we've seen the last 3 days or so, the last three games or so. What's your thoughts on what you've seen out of Iona overall and then more recently?
Well, it's a team we've seen, and Panzo went completely out of his mind with 3-point shooting, right? So that really was what killed the game for Fairfield's perspective. But yeah, I mean, Iona plays, I think if I was an Iona fan, and I said this going into the year, there's going to need to be patience, right? You know, you guys are used to every single year competing at a high level and winning the MAC most years than not, right? So there needs to be patience because Tobin has a specific system. He has to get his players bought into it, and he has to continue to play, have them play hard. I listened to the press conference after the Iona Quinnipiac game because I thought it was an interesting one to listen to. And Tobin was saying, listen, like, we just stopped pressing at the end. You know, it's easy to play basketball. It's hard to do everything right, right? And pressing and continuing to play your system towards the end is doing things right and working hard. And they kind of sat back on their lead. And, you know, Quinnipiac was able to do what Iona does to most teams is, you know, pressure them up with some pressure and turn them over and turn those turnovers into points. And Quinnipiac, when they're firing, it's really scary, right? When they're hitting shots and they're hitting their threes and they're playing defense, it's really scary because they're one of the more talented teams and they're one of the more offensively gifted teams. And Iona just kind of let go at the end there when they had the lead. And it's hard. You know, the last, you know, I've watched several games over the last, you know, month since we've played you guys. And do the seniors, you know, the grad students, I guess I'll call them, do they show up every night? Not really, right? Is it the freshmen or the seniors tonight, right? Like there's so many different moving pieces. And we knew going into this year with, 11 new players, 12 new players, that Iona was going to have to find the right mesh. But we thought that the seniors and the grad students were going to be the ones that you guys relied on. And it's not the case every game. And that's a little worrisome, right?
Yeah, that without question. But, you know, I'm a big picture kind of guy. I mean, some people get really hung up with every game. You know, oh, my God, what a terrible loss. Oh, my God, what a great win. And I'm just not that way. I like to just see like a group of games at a time that tells me more. So I do like what I've seen these last three games, despite the collapse yesterday. And now we'll switch to the MAC. When you brought up Quinnipiac, I mean, top of the MAC with St. Peter's at 6-1. I'll say it. They're better than I thought they were going to be. I thought, here we go again. Quinnipiac has a lot of talent. Everybody's projecting them pretty good. And then we still didn't really know after non-conference, only because their schedule wasn't really good. Same thing with Marist for that matter. So it's like, All right, well, what are we really at? You're beating all these iffy teams anyway. And a lot of them were at home. So it's like, all right, we really still don't have a read on Quinnipiac, but now 6-1 in the MAC tells me they're pretty good. And what I saw with them, how they were able to flip the switch on us late in the game yesterday, tells me that they are a dangerous team. Are they as good as their record?
Yeah, I will say this. I think they're better than we have expected out of Quinnipiac in years past, right? I think they're playing more together as a team, right? You know, Pecora is instilling a culture that's a team effort, that everyone has a part, everyone has a role. I am going to be really interested to see because, like you said, their schedule was easier and they've had success early on. I want to see them get punched in the mouth, right? And Listen, they got punched in the mouth during the game yesterday. Same kind of thing. First half at Marist, they were down. It might have even been double digits, but I know they were down in the first half versus Marist and they came back and won. So during games, they've been punched in the mouth. I want to see them get punched in the mouth a full game, lose in either heartbreaking fashion or by double digits, and come back and see how they respond, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the Quinnipiac that we've had to judge in the past is, you know, they've had some winning, especially at a conference. They come to the MAC, they win a few games, and then they lose one, and then they go on a losing streak, right? I think there was one year that they started 8-4, and they finished 8-10 or something, yeah. or eight, you know, it was something crazy like that. So like, I want to see them get lose a game in a fashion where they have to come back. And again, I'm not trying to bring everything back to Fairfield, but you know, Fairfield got punched in the mouth by Niagara, and the next game they beat Canisius by 20 plus, right? Mm-hmm. So like, and then they beat St. Peter's handily by double, you know, it was 9 points, but it was double digits most of the second half, right? Like, so it's about coming back and being resilient. And I want to see Quinnipiac do that. But, you know, first impressions, 5-game win streak right now for Quinnipiac. They're passing the ball. Savion Lewis leads the MAC in assists and one of the tops in the country. Matt Belonk, again, streaky shooter, but when he's on, and he's been on more often than not, he's a great player and one of the top players in the MAC. It all intertwines, right? Like Savion Lewis is a great assist man. You know, his assist rate to Otieno is one of the top five in the country. I think mm-hmm. like 30% of his assists go to Otieno. And Sam Fetterman did a post on that with interesting stats, and I thought that was a good one. And then Amari Tice, you know, comes out of Wofford out of nowhere from the Newburgh, New York, you know, up in Siena territory area, comes to Quinnipiac and is tearing it up. Like, he is your prototypical power forward in this league. Like 6'7", good size to him, rebounds, shoots the ball well, hit a couple threes yesterday, at least one yesterday.
Yep.
And they're really just pumping on all cylinders. And it's enjoyable to watch. I mean, for me, selfishly, and I know you live in Connecticut too, but Connecticut basketball is having an awesome year right now. Yep. Because obviously UConn's number one, Sacred Heart's doing pretty well. Quinnipiac and Fairfield are having great years. And then Central Connecticut too, and the NEC is doing well. So Connecticut basketball is really fun to watch right now. And I've been watching a lot on local television.
When you think about the names we were throwing around before the season started, like who's going to be in the top five of the MAC, and everybody had a few differences in there, you know, but you know, some people liked Quinnipiac. Some people, you know, had Fairfield high. Some people, I always kind of felt like Niagara was on that fringe of being in top five, and here they are. And then there's St. Peter's. Are the Peacocks for real, or are they going to fade?
Don't read too much in my potential fraud post that I posted after the Fairfield game. That was alcohol and adrenaline driven. They're not actually frauds. That was just, I'm joking around. Some people commented on it like, they're not frauds. And I'm like, I know. I'm just messing. But no, they're a good team. I mean, listen, they're kind of in the mold that the Fairfield teams used to be in, which is play defense, right? Defense into offense. And they do a great job at it. Corey Washington, especially the last, like, I think it's the last 6 or 7 games, he's stepped up big time, right? He's scoring at a higher clip. And he's that second year guard that everyone expected, right? I actually forget. He's a sophomore or junior. I think he's a sophomore this year.
I think he's a sophomore, yeah.
Yeah. So that second year, you know, sometimes you don't make the leap. Like someone like who's been hurt, like Isaiah Brickner on Maris, which we'll get to. But like Corey Washington has made that jump, especially the last, you know, 7 or 8 games. And I like what I see, because Latrell Reed has been there since game one this year, right? He's been their point guard, score really good. And the rest of it's just been team ball. Like, they press you. They turn your defense into offense. Hey, I get a turnover, I'm going to go get a layup. I'm going to go to the rim, right? Because it's not – half-court offense for St. Peter's is not pretty. But their defense is fun to watch. I think they're a legit team. I think they're a legit buy team in terms of not, you know, playing 6 seed or lower in the MAC tournament. But do I trust them to win every single game? No, because I think – you know, when Fairfield played them, they said, okay, I'm going to play a zone. I'm going to break the press. I'm going to score. I'm going to push the ball in transition so you can't set up your press. And there's ways around it, right? And I think as we get closer to the end of the year, more teams will scout St. Peter's, and they're still a good, talented team. But I don't know if they're a team that I'm saying is a definite top three when the year ends.
Okay. And then, yeah, I there's some teams in the middle that are kind of, you know, Iona's kind of in the middle, which is what I kind of expected at this point. Mount St. Mary's right there. Maris is right there. I look a little lower, and there's one name in that bottom that jumps out. Then you're like, why? And it's Ryder. How is Ryder only 2-5 in the MAC with all that talent?
Yeah, I mean, it's a head scratcher. I mean, I thought they were undoubtedly number one. Listen, if I was picking a roster, they'd be up there as a roster I'd want, program a roster I'd want to pick talent-wise, right? You know, you have the best player. Everyone would agree that Murren James is the best player in the league. Alan Powell is a great second scoring option. The Week brothers are good players. Ingram's a solid big man, right? He has good size. So like, it's hard to say what it is. I mean, the only thing I can think of is like leadership, right? Like DJ Murray or Dwight Murray last year was like shooting the ball so well. He was our clutch player, and he was our point guard leader. And this year, you know, Corey McKeithen's a good player, but he's not a scorer, right? And Alan Powell has either shown up or not, right? Mm-hmm. So it's been really hard for them to close games. It's been hard for them to win games. And I don't know if James is really that, like, leader, like vocal leader. Some players are just good players. Some players are good leaders, right? And the great ones are both. And, you know, I don't know him personally, but I don't see a lot of cohesion on the court. I don't see a lot of teamwork on the court. And I think that's where they're lacking. And Baggett's having a really tough time. I've said this, and I might have even talked about this on the podcast. Like, what kind of mindset can a team go into MAC play when they play such a tough out-of-conference schedule and get their butts kicked, right? They got their butts kicked. It was Nebraska. It was Marquette. It was Penn State. It was – I think they played Maryland too. It was just all these teams, and they just took the money because the program needs it. But, you know, when you start your season with several wins and a lot of losses and not even close losses, how does that mentally change your locker room and have it go into the season?
Yeah, and not only that, like when you're playing those kind of teams, though, of course, all those bigger schools have the personnel to execute a game plan that's going to work. So you watch that, you can see that, and then you can mimic. I mean, obviously, MAC schools don't have that same level of talent, but you can mimic what you saw those other schools try to do, you know, try to do it too. And of course, it's been successful. Riders only 2-5. So when you look at the entire MAC standings right now, you have the teams at the top, you have some teams in the middle, you have some teams on the bottom. Over the next few weeks, where do you see shifts happening? Where do you see somebody in the middle gravitating toward the top? Do you see somebody in the middle going up toward the bottom? Anyway, yeah. In the bottom that you think is going to jump up, where do you think you're going to see some movement?
Yeah, I mean, again, I've said this from the beginning, I don't think that St. Peter's are frauds, but I'm not sure that they're, you know, can replicate 6-1 to 12-1, right? Like, I don't see them being the team that only has, like, you know, a handful of losses going into MAC, you know, the MAC tournament. I think they're a team that probably has like 8 losses, right? I think that at some point they're going to face some adversity. You know, shooting's going to get cold, defense is going to get tougher, scouts are going to get better. So I think them and probably like a Niagara flip. Niagara is a team we haven't talked about here yet, but the last 10 games they've had at least one 20-point score, and it's been different. You know, it hasn't always been Ahmad Henderson. You know, there's other guys who have stepped up, like Luke Bumbalo, Randy Tucker might have been one of those as well. You know, they've got these players, and again, similar, you know, in our preseasons when we had some of the spaces, I said, you know, 1A in terms of turnover and new team is Iona, right? You bring in 12 guys. 1B is Niagara.
Yeah.
They brought in probably 8 to 9.
It's 8 or 9 at least. Yeah.
And it's all D1 talent. It's all talent that's been fairly productive, right? 5 points per game or better in D1 levels. So it's about meshing, and I was very high on them. I had them towards the top of my predictions, and they struggled in the beginning, I think, because of the cohesion. And now they're figuring out, unselfishly, I can, you know, other different guys can score on different nights. And I think offensively, Quinnipiac and Fairfield are two of the most dangerous offensive teams. And I think right behind them is Niagara, because they have a lot of guards who could score at a high clip, and they have big men who could defend. So I think Niagara probably flips with St. Peter's and moves towards the top. I think Marist at some point starts to fade a little, and I think Iona will continue to, you know, stay out of the pig range. I know that some people are pessimistic on that, but I think they do. And I think the bottom kind of stays where it is. Canisius, at least when we played them, didn't show me enough to do well, and now one of their other guards is hurt again. So. Yeah. I think the bottom kind of stays as it is, like kind of Siena Rider, Canisius, Manhattan, but Mount's an interesting one. They're 3-1 at home and 0-3 on the road in the MAC.
Yeah.
So, you know, they got to break that road trend to get better, but they're a pretty talented team as well. Now, do I think they're a team that's 1, 2, or 3? No, but could they fight for a 4 or 5 seed? Definitely. So, you know, that 4-5 mix is going to be between probably Iona, Mount, and Marist, honestly.
Yeah, and how much fun is the MAC tournament going to be? I mean, there's no clear-cut favorite. I think with the exception of Manhattan. I think anybody can beat anybody in that kind of scenario. I think Canisius will get healthier and will be dangerous when they get healthier. Ryder, you know, is just going to be one of those teams that can just wake up and start playing well. Siena's done a little better since Dura Gordon joined them. I mean, they're at least feistier now than they were. So it's going to be a fun tournament. And again, these teams at the top, can Quinnipiac hold up in over three games, you know, in the MAC tournament? You can Fairfield, you know, I mean, so there's so many questions.
Plus anybody,
I can't wait to get to Langston. That's going to be a blast. Any other thoughts on the MAC you want to share as we wrap up here?
No, the only thing I'll say, and I know we're technically going to be a week early when you release this before Fairfield Iona, but to me, Fairfield as a program, you know, with this winning streak, hopefully is changing the tide a little bit, right? Like, hey, we can win, we can be consistent and whatever. The one big thing, in my opinion, and I know the coaches or the players would not agree to this, is winning at Iona needs to change the tide. So you might not be aware of this, and a lot of the, even when I talk to the players or coaches, aren't aware of this, but Fairfield is 0-14 their last 14 at Iona. They haven't won at Iona since 2006-2007 in an overtime game when Iona that year was 2-28 and 1-17 in the MAC. So Fairfield, since Iona's been good, probably since that point more or less, Fairfield has not won at Iona. There's the next two games for Fairfield is at home this Sunday, Quinnipiac, and on the road next Friday at Iona.
Big games.
If this team is real, if this team is a legit team, Fairfield, they're 1-1 those next two, whether that's a win versus Quinnipiac and a loss versus Iona, or a loss versus Quinnipiac and a win at Iona. It needs to be 1-1 if this team is legit. And I just want to make you aware of that stat because it's pretty mind-blowing.
It is. I was not aware of that. So, well, I appreciate you dropping that little nugget on us as we wrap up. Frank, I want to thank you again for joining us. I know the Iona fans really appreciate the insights into the MAC. It's a fun MAC year. Stressful for Iona fans, but you know, from an objective point of view, this league is, as always, a lot of fun to watch, and you're a big part of it. So I appreciate you coming on and dropping some knowledge on us, especially that little factoid about the Stags and visiting New Rochelle. And we will catch up with you again down the line, my friend.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, as always, and thanks for doing the great work that you do.
Thank you much. Thanks again to Fairfield Frank Aquino for battling what might be an illness. I'm not sure. And joining us on this pod to drop some MAC knowledge and Fairfield knowledge on us. Gale fans, y'all got to hang in there, people. It's a long season. You know, it's not always going to be easy, but we're not done yet. You got to keep the faith, people. As always, go Gales.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the IonaHoops.com podcast. This podcast is a production of IonaHoops.com with publisher Guy Filotico. The opinions shared during this podcast are those of Guy Filotico, IonaHoops.com, and any featured guests. This podcast is not affiliated with Iona University Athletics or the university itself. Thank you for supporting IonaHoops.com.